thank you. We are now going to take up... We could take up many things, you know. There are a few things to take up. We're now going to take up states of being. I've already talked about scales. There's a great deal of information which is accumulated over a period of time concerning states of being. Now, you've heard of clears and operating thetans and releases and so forth. Well, what basically are these things and how are they achieved? Historically, the first clears were produced in 1947, and lacking the tremendous amount of data since gained by which to evaluate it, there wasn't even language to talk about it, you see. One couldn't even call these things what they were, call them clears, but just what was a clear. A tremendous amount of observation has been necessary over a long period of time to find out what was the important thing that was done early in order to make one, what was the common denominator of this, and what basically did happen. Now, that's not basically an apology for the thing. Actually, it's only taken a few years, and a lot of people have been trying at it for a very, very long time, and they haven't done it, and we've just taken a few years, and we have done it. So that it's been a bit of a struggle. There's been a little randomity here and there. I don't think should be subject of great criticism. But we do have to, and we do find it very necessary to have a very clear view of what our goals definitely are with relationship to a human being. Now, in 1947, the first process was confronting this. This was the first process, and it was used in a gradient scale. You know a great deal about gradient scales. You should know a lot about gradient scales. Things happen little by little, not all at once, as the total effect people would like us to believe. The individual who could not confront anything was brought into an ability to confront. I don't even think the word was used in those days. Better you word here has come up. Little locks. Just locks. Now, what's a lock? A lock is a mental image picture which derives its force from an underlying engram. Actually, a lock probably derives its force from a secondary, which derives its force from an engram, but I can't say for sure that all engrams accumulate secondaries. Secondary is an emotional charge or a misemotional charge. Engram is a mental image picture containing pain, unconsciousness, and exteriorization. You're studying Scientology, not Dianetics. Dianetics is pain and unconsciousness. Scientology is pain, unconsciousness, and exteriorization. That's what it takes to make an engram. And a lock is just any old picture. And a person's any old pictures stick around because they've had big, forceful, hidden, not even vaguely confronted pictures of pain, unconsciousness, and exteriorization. Now, this person was brought to confront what he could confront. And I've had somebody go to a door and walk in the room and then sit down in the chair and then confront the resulting picture, resulting mental image picture of having walked in the door and sat down in the chair. I'd get somebody to do this until he could do it. What I didn't realize is I was asking them to confront a wall on a via. That's why HC works. You get them to confront a wall, bang. But by getting them to go through this operation time and time again, I never found out there was an occluded case. See, this was being victimized by being too good. There wasn't enough randomity showed up. There wasn't enough nonsense ever came out of it. Well, I was fortunate. I didn't have to explain it to anybody. I didn't have to talk about it at all. And I found out that an individual did this, and then he could look at other pictures, and then we could erase them. He would look at them until he no longer saw them. In other words, I was actually bringing him by gradient scale into a state of beingness where he could, as is, a mental image picture by looking at it, not some substitute for it, you see? And gradually he would look at rougher and rougher and meaner, more and more painful and more unconscious pictures. The next thing you know, why, he would look at a heavy picture and it would say, whoop. Well, we hadn't seen that until we started to run engrams. Last in 58, we didn't see it again. Really, look at an engram and it goes until 58. That's how long it took between. Well, I won't give you a big build up on what a tremendous auditor I am. But I was evidently doing things right. But I didn't know what of the things I was doing right, and I didn't know what of the results were right. There was no way to evaluate this at all. I just kept on doing this, and it kept working. And then I started to explain it to people, and then I started getting scientific, and then I, Q&A'd, you might say, I answered up when other people got concerned about a problem in the subject of what was happening. Why, then I got concerned about it too, and I tried to explain it all, and I tried to get it all set one way or the other, and it was very difficult. And I wound up thinking the engram was the thing, not the ability to confront it. And began to define clears as people who didn't have any, rather than people who could confront them. You see? Now, a person who could totally confront engrams doesn't have any. You see the natural conclusions here. I was just led astray, only for a few years. Now, you could still make clear today the same way. And because I was interested in them being more and more capable of confronting more and more duress in mental image pictures, I skipped listening to text in those early cases, and I didn't find out about whole track, actually, until Mary Sue and myself sat down with an e-meter and plotted whole track, I think, during the whole of 1952. We just did nothing but plot the track. What had man been up to? I mean, what pictures did exist, and so forth. Well, undoubtedly, some of these early pre-clears had been looking at space opera and all sorts of things on the whole track. But it seemed to be all right with them. And I didn't see any particular reason to inquire too deeply, and I wasn't concerned with that. I was merely interested in their ability to handle their mental image pictures. That was all I was really basically concerned with. When I started to explain it, then the mental image picture became the bogey. It became the beast. And it was the thing that had to be attacked, not the PC. Now, we're right back to where we started again. The thing we're trying to improve is the person. That's all we're trying to improve. And the person is a thetan. And we're just trying to improve a thetan. And that's all. We don't care about his pictures, text of. Now, the wonderful conditions which result from these pictures could be a terrific study in itself. Oh, my, the story, the drama, the puzzles that occur as a reason on the whole track for a person being crazy. No, the reason a person is crazy is he can't confront his pictures. this puzzle, probably, this little oddity, was the thing which tipped everything over. Some individual would have some terrific, some fantastic amount of aberration. Oh, he'd been shot and beaten and shoveled up and left for dead and so forth. And he'd be walking around happy and sane. And this other person had a real tough life. You know, gotten up to the age of 12, and on three separate occasions had stuck a pin in the finger. And had actually had a bad cold at the age of 13. And had flunked a subject in college and had to repeat it. And we find them in the insane asylum. And there are two reasons for this. Individuals on the whole track are not the same. One Satan to the next. They're not all the same. They have to take a communistic attitude or some highly identified attitude where everybody is the same as everybody, some communistic or other great religious significance. Communism is a sort of a religion, you know. I'm not running it down. The individuals are not all the same. Man is not equal. He's not created equal, evidently. But certainly on the whole track, we don't even have to prove that. We don't even have to look at it. Certainly on the whole track, this individual in this lifetime went mad, sticking a pin in the finger, might have had some tremendous duress in past lives, don't you think? But there was all of that experience which was out of view. And one didn't know really what had happened to the person. He could only see the consequence of experience in this lifetime. So that made a very disproportionate view. I found out that it didn't matter out of some people how many engrams we erased. Nothing seemed to work very good. Now I finally found out that it was a question of how real this engram was. And some fellow would go avidly through an engram from one end to the other and swear to you it was real. And it wasn't until very recently that I discovered that real is a one-terminal proposition, as I've already told you. There's no comparison. Realer than what? It was very real to him. You say, how real? Well, as real as this room. Well, how real was the room to him? And we find out it was a vague floating fog that nobody had anything to do with. It was a nowhere. So he went through this engram totally on nowhere. So it became very necessary to develop up realities. In other words, we needed processes which developed up realities, and therefore we had to study what made unrealities and what it was that pushed a person downscale into unrealities more rapidly than other things. And all these years, we started again to make clears toward the end of 57. That was 10 years almost after the fact, where we could go for the goal and arrive there with some prediction. But there were auditors during the period of 1950 to 1957 who did make clears and who were successful along the line. But nobody could totally predict getting anywhere positively with each case, don't you think? So that made a random subject, a random clearingness. We could always improve somebody. So let's get down to a lower state now than clear. You can take somebody with Dianetic processes or with your more elementary Scientology processes who is suffering from a chronic illness. Psychosomatic illnesses comprise 70% of man's illnesses, and probably the remaining 30% of his illnesses are predisposed by mental attitudes. You know, the fellow was very excited, so he went out and broke his leg. You get the idea. That these individuals, without ever realizing anything, cogniting, you know, we call it, without ever cognizing, without ever waking up the fact anything was happening, could be made to get over these illnesses. He doesn't do that today. He doesn't necessarily get another illness, but he doesn't necessarily find out he's well either. The auditor has for a long while been in a tremendous position in the field of healing and has not taken very much advantage of it. You can take some girl that's going wog, 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 processor, get her to do the processes, and all of a sudden she gets over asthma or whatever it was she had. And after she's all over the asthma, she tells you she never had asthma. And that's very discouraging. The auditor in this case was demanding too much of the preclear. He was demanding of the preclear find out what was going on. You can actually monitor a body as an auditor into a state of good health without the being in that body finding out about it. This sounds very extreme, but it's nevertheless quite true. And has served to break the hearts of more auditors on the subject of healing than any other single thing I know of. Got the fellow all over chronic earaches. Got him all over his ulcers. Straightened him all out in all directions. And the fellow just grumbled. Well, an auditor has been in a position for a long time to overwhelm the goals of a preclear. Preclear wants to be sick. The auditor comes along and makes him well. PCs never finds out that he got well. As a matter of fact, if he did find it out, he'd be quite angry with the auditor. If he never found it out, don't you see? It was necessary to restrain the enthusiasm of auditors every time they saw a malformed finger or something like this. They would do nothing but process the malformed finger, and we were trying to make clears. So I myself may have discouraged them during the period of about 53 to 55 from going all out just to heal everything in sight. Perhaps I did that, perhaps not. That just naturally evolved. People found out that if you didn't make the person better, you weren't doing anything, so why heal them? Perhaps the greatest reality to people in this modern age, I call to your attention, each age is modern. It's sickness. You get into streetcars and so forth, you see ads for contribution to cancer and contribution to the blind, contribution to this. In other words, evidently people contribute to very bad illnesses where they won't contribute to very fine awarenesses. Very, very amusing. It's an interesting commentary. But there's nothing wrong with you going on healing people. Because we're looking here at the lowest realm of the state of beingness. Without changing a person by processing, you alter his body from sickness to wellness. You can do that without his even finding out. So that is obviously the lowest state of being that you would care to attack. Now, some people are so bad off, and some bodies are so far beyond the state of no return, that you have to have something of a medical attitude, even though you're not practicing medicine in any way, in order to cope with a situation. You must realize that a dog that is stinking in the sun, dead for 3 days, is not something you can coax any Phaeton to pick up. He just won't be able to manage that. Get the idea? Now, less formidably, there's a state of no return. An individual has been ill for a very, very long time. The body is all crumpled up in some way or another. It's been going on practically forever. The person maybe has an age factor or something like this interfering with it. And it's just not something that is easily healable. This isn't easily done. They require more hours to heal it than to straighten up the person and let him get another body. That, by accurate definition, is the point of no return. That point where the only thing we can do is straighten the person up so we can get another mock-up. That's a serious goal for an auditor. Ah, yes, we're talking in a little bit of an ultra-modern way now. We've got care of the body, save a life, nobody must die, nobody must die. This is going on, and it's just an endless tape in this society. That's going on all the time. It's the way this present mid-20th century society operates. A much clearer view is that if an individual is just too far gone, you still can do something for them. You can still straighten them up so that they can go find another body. And that's definitely a processing goal. And that goal probably belongs immediately above the goal of healing. Now, those, speaking of healing now, and just winding up that one particular subject, those illnesses which are strictly and totally communication illnesses are the last things to surrender in a case, so they're not the first thing for you to pick out. Do you hear me? This individual is wearing glasses. Well, it doesn't mean he's crazy. It doesn't mean he's in bad shape. It may mean that he just has had a blast in the face or something like this, and he's got an optical distortion of some kind or another. But it's a communication difficulty. You hear me? Now, there are old effort processes. You ask somebody to get the effort not to see, and you'll change his eyesight around. Just tell him, look at something and make it blur. You know what he's been doing all the time? He's been trying to make it sharp, trying to make it sharp, trying to make it sharp. We'll get him to do the opposite. Then you'll find that there's a dichotomy. The effort to get well is faced with the effort to get sick. And you get him to look at something and make it blur, see it badly, see it unclearly. You're using a different set of muscles and a different vector than the vector he's always using. You get something to jump, something to happen, something sudden to occur. So don't be disappointed if in the next couple of days his eyes go back the same way they were. The communication difficulty is the last difficulty to surrender. Form is next most difficult. He's got a twisted spine or something like that. That's quite difficult to put back together again. It means such a total overwhelmingness from some engram a quarter. Next to that is germs, as my old friend Louis Pasteur used to call them. Now, you get a person who's chronically sick. You can change him around this way and that, but he has so many overts on the line of creating little things that nobody could see that would eat people up, that it's pretty difficult to shift around germs. So we get down now to the easiest thing to alter, which are simply conditions, which are constant conditions. And if somebody's got a fever, you can do things to ease off the fever and so forth. You just do old locational process. You just get him to look at walls for a while and you're liable to change his fever and so forth. But to cure him and make him totally well is more difficult because he is ill at the time you're processing him, and therefore further downscale, than it is to take a chronic difficulty such as asthma or ulcers or gallbladder trouble or diabetes or one of these conditions, these chronic conditions that medical science just tears its hair out over. It just can't do anything for. And those rank amongst the easier targets. Now, an ache or a pain, of course, is the easiest one. But migraine headache requires the resolution of a whole engram like the haver or something of that sort. And although you can move a person around in this migraine headache, if it's quite severe, it usually takes a little while to undo. But it's so difficult for an individual to maintain a bad body condition that it surrenders much more easily than you would suppose. Now, how a person can maintain asthma is very difficult, since it's probably in the middle of an engram tract, which merely suppresses his breathing or something like that. Tree fell on him and he couldn't breathe, so now he has asthma. You get the idea. Well, there's a tree lying across his chest, and it'd have to be caught right in the middle of that engram at that precise point and have to maintain itself there as an engram. It'd have to remain there exactly for this person to go on having chronic asthma. You almost snap your fingers and you move him off of it, you see? It's just no trick at all, because all you've got to do is move him a bit on the time track, and he has something else, you see. He'll have whatever other condition there is there that's right adjacent to it. Right? Maybe out of one tree falling on a man, you get 30 or 40 different medical diseases. Maybe the tree fell on him, he cut his foot with an axe, you know. He had a hard time standing there while the tree was pressing against him, and he was gripping the ground with his feet. That's arthritis. That's his hold, you know. You'd like to just move this engram around, you see, and get all these other conditions which are associated with the engram. But you could certainly get rid of the asthma. I don't know how a Thetan expertly holds one of these chronic somatics in existence. Now, you're going to find out, much to your own amazement, that changing one of them with anything like, well, any communication process you can think of almost, you know? Like the fellow has a bad hand. Well, somebody the other day told me I have a very bad finger here. Very bad finger. Been hurting all day. And I said, good. I said, mind if I process you for a moment? Thank you. I said, now touch the table. Touch the ashtray. Touch your head. All with this finger. Now go on and touch your hand. Touch your other hand. Touch your chest. Touch the table. It said, it hurt. Oh, fine. That's good. Now, touch the dish. Touch your chest. Touch the top of your head. Touch your nose. Touch your other hand. Ow! Person said. Fine. Go on. Touch the table. Touch the ashtray. That's how's your finger? Fine. Finger hasn't hurt since. Get the idea? It's quite a trick. Holding a mock-up, which is what a facsimile or an image picture really is, that fixed in exactly that position. And you apply almost any kind of communication to it, and it's liable to just go. Of course, communication is, in essence, time, too, you see. And you time on the track, you move the person on the track, one of the least things you do. And, of course, at least that pain goes. The person wakes up the next morning with a horrible head. We don't know what the engram was. When we start one of these, we just shotgun the process, don't you see? But almost any communication applied to these chronic illnesses. So, every once in a while, you get quite upset. You'll find out that some Scientologists or a bunch of Scientologists someplace or another are suddenly developing an illness that is going around. That's quite unusual, by the way. For instance, there were a certain flu virus that some Scientologists, a lot of Scientologists got, which was very startling to everybody in Scientology because they weren't used to being sick. Well, this must have been a brand new kind of an illness that came around. It must have had brand new factors and so forth. For everybody to get flu like this was quite amazing. Staffs of various organizations, field auditors and so forth, were getting quite upset about this because they weren't used to being sick. And they were processing each other like mad and still went on and had three-day flu. That means, as my old pal Louis used to say, that there are churms. And bodies seem to be obsessed with multiplying them. And here's another factor. But a body had to consent to get ill from germs before it got ill from germs, and most of the time on perfectly ordinary routine germs, Scientologists have got over being ill by them, and they don't get ill. But once in a while, they get ill. And then it's very embarrassing. Their friends say to them, well, I thought you were a Scientologist, but I didn't hear that. The first time I'd been ill in a long while, it was a few years ago, I found out I could mock up radioactive mock-ups. Well, I happily went on and mocked up some radioactive mock-ups, find out what you could do about curing people of radiation sickness. I didn't notice my body was close to the mock-ups. I did in a couple of days, however. The bottom practically went out from underneath me. I got very ill, and this was extremely embarrassing, let me assure you. Extremely embarrassing. The news was all over the world, just bang, you know. Well, Hubbard's mortal. Of course, if they'd asked me in the first place, I could have told them. His body's been dead 3 times in this lifetime. Well, anyhow, practically the only reason I'm alive is Dianetics, by the way. I am alive, Q&Aing with the society. This body's alive. Look at this, then, as an original early state. Then, just the state of being moderately well. Now let's get up above this state and have a person be moderately comfortable mentally so they're not worried all the time. You see that as an interim state? There's no name for this particular state, but it's just he's just moderately comfortable mentally. And there's a little state that is just above this which is much more important. It's called a release. And that is about the first one when you run in on the clear chain. A release is a person who won't keep going downhill. He's at a point where he knows he won't skid from there on up. Oddly enough, you can obtain a release with a process which is on the last page of the book Self-Analysis, published in 1951 in the fall. That's been around that long. It's ARC straight wire. It is relegated today to training drills. When you do this process, you're doing it with a student merely to show him cyclic aspects on the track and so forth. But this process carried on. Oh, nothing horrible. Week or two, something like this of processing, certainly. It's an unlimited process. Will, all by itself, make a release. Somewhere along the line, the fellow will say, whew. You say, what's the matter? Have cognition sound? Yeah, I sure did. Well, what cognition sound? What you're doing is fixing me up so that I won't skid now. I realize I could hold my own with this process. Get the idea? That's just a release. That's all. That means the individual is off or released from the dwindling spiral. Now, that is not a very hard one to obtain. And running an HAS co-audit course, if you can't obtain this in a few weeks of HAS muzzle co-auditing in the people in the course, you better read the rule book again because you're doing something wrong. That's an easy one to obtain. Is much more a relief to some people than it is to others. But a release is a state that you could assure people they could attain. It's worth knowing then, and it's a very worthwhile state. Now, when you start talking about clear and hundreds of hours of processing or something like this, you'll find a public which maybe doesn't have much money or think they don't have much time. I don't know how a person can't have time to get straightened out, because that's the reason they don't have any time, is because they're not straightened out. It's a little conundrum people pose you all the time. Well, they don't have time for these hundreds of hours. They can always be told about this condition, release, where at least you won't get any worse. We can fix you up so you won't get any worse. They'll say, yes, they're liable to get quite interested in it. Now, the next step up is messed clear. And this is a controversial state. An individual is not totally aware of himself as being a Thetan. His engram bank is keyed out. At least he isn't looking at it. He isn't having to confront it all the time. It isn't worrying him. He's in a pretty good orderly condition. He knows that his cognition, by the way, is quite interesting. Almost all mesclers tell you this. Immediately after they reach the state, they say, well, I know I've got my foot on the bottom of the ladder. I'll tell you this. I know I've got a long way to go, but at least I've got my foot on the bottom of the ladder. So instead of being released, now they realize that they're on their way up. The trouble with a mess clear, which is attained by the steps, help, and step six, neither one of which you will be using, probably. The trouble with it is, an individual comes up to an ability to postulate. He isn't totally straightened out, you see. He isn't used to this state, and his postulates now are very beefy. He can make statements, you might say, to various parts of the body, like my ankle will now swell up, and say, help me, it does. He's like a little kid that's just had a cocked 45 pistol shoved in his hand. And 20 or 30% of them blow their brains out with it. The state, in some percentage, is not stable. It would be less than honest to pull the punches on this one. This state is not entirely and completely with everyone stable. It is with some. But others run into this postulate factor, and they've got enough self-destruction kicking around or something like that in the environment that they Q&A with it. They don't know how to make postulates. They're not totally aware of being able to cause things. They don't believe that they themselves can cause things. They're liable to startle themselves half to death. They walk out in the street and say, well, if I was really an operating Satan, I would just look at that driver and I would say, well, he'll now go unconscious and run into the lamppost. And he would, and the driver does. And he says, you might say that this individual is in a state where he can't take total responsibility for all the things he can now cause. So he cuts his power back. He shuts the throttle down. And he says, now let's see, what can I keep the throttle shut down with? Can I mock up some kind of a nice, healthy engram that's kicking my teeth in and then say I didn't make it? And away he goes back into the dwindling spiral again. Well, he is not going to get worse to a great extent, but he is going to hold himself down. Therefore, mess clear can be said to be a state of being. It is reachable. We know a great deal about it. And we also know that a rather large percentage of mess clears are not stable. They get clear. 2 or 3 months, you see them. They won't wear their bracelet. They don't want to have too much to say about the subject. They're rather coy. They tell their friends, no, I'm really not clear. You know, I thought I was, but I'm not. And, you know, there's a big quandary about it. They run into this postulate factor and they can't handle it. All right. Nevertheless, that has to be, because it is, and because it can be created in a finite number of hours, is the first grade of clear. This state can be obtained. E-meters don't work on them till they key themselves back in again with postulates and so forth, and they measure up in various ways. Their intelligence is terrific. Now, these, by the way, are fairly terrific people. They do all right. I'm not downgrading the people who reach this state. I'm just showing you it's not stable. Now, the next up the line, and the only one we care to have anything to do with broadly in an HGC, and the only one that a smart field auditor would really now care to have anything to do with, is theta clear. A theta clear is still using a body as a communication particle. He's a long way from an operating Thetan, but he can have or not have a bank at will and can control his postulates. Now, it's not necessarily true that he's out of his head or he's doing stunts on the chandelier and all that sort of thing as a Thetan, but it is true that he can mock up or unmock a bank. He can mock up a real heavy engram and unmock it. He can make a postulate and unnaked. He's in control of his bank and his postulates. To a marked degree, he's in control of a body. Now, just exactly what a Theta Clear can do with the body is still a subject of considerable investigation. His communication is good and so forth. Now, exactly where a Theta Clear sits on the numerical ARC scale, I wouldn't give you as a total fact. You get the idea? But I can say that he is certainly above 8.0. A meth clear is somewhere around 4.0 and up a bit. But a theta clear is certainly above 8.0. Now, people are going to ask a theta clear whether or not he can get out of his head and get back in, whether he goes to sleep at night and what he does, and so forth. Well, I'll tell you an awfully good answer to this. Why don't you get Theta cleared? Then you'll know all about it. That's the best way to find out. It's like somebody asked me, every once in a while somebody asked me about God, how he wears his hat and so forth. And even if you told them, even if you knew, and even if you told them, they'd never be able to see it, you see? Kind of that way about Theta Clear. There are certain things you can say, however, on testing Theta Clear. Theta Clear does not operate on the E-meter unless he wants to. But he can operate an E-meter. He can make an E-meter do things. He can throw a heavy engram in or throw some heavy mass into the line and make an E-meter jump. I had an electronics man almost crazy about 4 or 5 years ago by just stringing a beam between two cans, making the needle jump, you see. Took the electrodes of the E-meter and just marked up a beam between the two cans, short-circuited the meter. They'd go wham. And a lot of your top Scientologists can do tricks like this. It's very simple. They're really childishly easy. If your object is to be muse and amaze and go on the stage with trick magic, why, that's one thing, but I don't know why anybody would want to accumulate that much amazement from an audience. Now, that state of Theta Clear is attainable by the processes which you're being taught, actually, in this course. An attainable process. Had I ever carried out to its knee plus ultra the earliest clearing process, I possibly would have found the rest of the business of Theta Clear years and years ago. But when you have 100,000 factors to observe, and you don't know which of these factors add up to what of those factors, and you haven't even got a language to talk about it, well, we have what we call in Scientology a 6-foot rear view mirror. 6 feet wide, and you can see the whole backtrack with great clarity. And it's got a little tiny pinhole in front. You look through this little tiny pinhole and barely make out where you're going, but you might not be able to, and it's kind of obscure and so on. But you look at that great big rear view mirror, and boy, do you know where you've been. Now, this state of Theta Clear is a highly desirable one. It carries with it, almost incidentally, certain mental attributes. These would be inevitable. It carries a certain high profile on the personality test. It carries at least 135 IQ, at least. That's rather low IQ. It carries certain definite attributes with regard to health and that sort of thing. But remember something. When you theta clear somebody, you are theta clearing a thetan. and you're not clearing a body. And although a state of clear could markedly influence the body, it is not part of the condition. You are simply trying to put the individual, the I, the person, in condition. That's all you're interested in. Now, if an individual can mock up a bank or unmock a bank, certainly he could influence the health of the body. I've seen some remarkable things done by auditors, done lots of remarkable things, and seen some very remarkable things done. Little boy. Oh, somebody was, this was down in Arizona. There was a church. A Christian church turned in on itself during its later days. And it offered $1,000 reward to anybody who could show a miracle. It said miracles didn't exist, and no disciple had ever pulled off a miracle, and there'd never been a miracle since Christ. And it was offering $1,000 to anybody who could demonstrate a miracle. Oh, we looked around. We had so many miracles, we didn't know which one to choose. What is a miracle? Well, a miracle would be some miraculous healing of some kind or another. And one of the boys, he was on the administrative staff. He wasn't even on technical staff. He'd had a little boy, he'd run some sort of process on this little boy who had a withered arm. And he'd made the arm grow 3 inches, you see, and restored the length of the arm. And he had medical proof of before and medical proof afterwards, and so on. And so we offered this up as a miracle. Well, you should have seen that church just try to disappear over the horizon quick. All sorts of arguments and so forth as to this, that, and the other thing, and so on. Well, obviously it was a miracle. Somebody had taken a withered arm and made it into a right arm. You see, made it into a proper arm. Obviously a miracle. And they never did pay us the $1,000. The miraculous aspects of any of these states are seldom appreciated. What people want are the workaday world sort of aspects. I mean, they want to know how they can get better in their work. They want to know how they could survive better domestically. They want to know how they could make themselves richer or success. And some would like to know how to make themselves sicker. Now, there are many goals. And there are as many states of beingness, I suppose, as there are goals. But when we look up above at this stage of the game, theta clear, we meet two things. A great big unreality of view on the part of most people. They try to look at a state of theta clear, and that's hard enough to grasp. Somebody sailing in and out of his head and able to mock up horrible engrams and unmock them at will and that sort of thing. That's bad enough. Somebody whose IQ is up there a few points above genius and is able to make decisions without liability. Maybe he's not spectacular. Maybe he didn't get any prettier at all, but he's certainly living better. This individual's in pretty good condition. Well, they have a hard time seeing that one. Well, how much harder a time would they have reaching what has always been, this has had name. And it's had a name much of the time Scientology's existed. What reality would they have on operating Thetan? What is an operating Thetan? Well, an operating Thetan, by definition, is cause over life, matter, energy, space, and time. Now, we're getting there, see? We take anybody, we can take almost anybody and run this process and get the idea of mocking up some money. Now get the idea that would spoil the game and don't do it. And the next thing you know, you'll see realer and realer money start appearing in front of him because he's running out what is preventing him from mocking up real money, you see, on the withhold. And this stuff's getting realer and realer and more solid, and he starts worrying, and all of a sudden he quits. He says, oh, that's outside my reality. And this individual's never been able to get a picture. You can always get somebody to make a picture. I don't care. Even if he's a black case, he won't be able to hold it long. It'll worry him to death. He'll go around for days trying to get rid of the thing. But somebody says, I can't get a picture. if they say it to me too impolitely, I get them a picture. Oh. Say, all right, get the idea of mocking up a picture as large as that wall and as brilliant as present time. You got that idea? Good. Now get the idea. It'd spoil the game if you did it, and don't do it. Just do this drill with them. Do this drill with them. Do this drill with them. The next thing you know, a three-dimensional picture appears as big as the wall and as solid as present time. And they say, oh, no. And they flinch. Get the idea? That's too much too quick. Scientology can very easily override the objections of people. Very easily override the objections of some little old Satan that's been zapped often enough and messed up often enough to feel kind of inadequate anyhow. It's very easy to come along and tell him to do something that's on his own capability line, and he does it and scare him half to death, you see? Well, you just talk about operating Satan, you're liable to scare people to death. As you look over an audience every once in a while, and you talk about operating Satan, you'll see people kind of drawing back and kind of rolling their eyes at you a little bit. They're not quite sure they want to know too much about this. Every now and then, you see somebody in an audience like that. Other people, boy, that's what they want to be. That's what they want to be. That's what they want to be. Usually, they're the crazy ones. They got the furthest to go, and they want the top at once. Now, what an operating Satan could do and how you attain an operating Satan, we can only suppose that an operating Satan would proceed more or less along the same lines as you make a theta clear, and the process would go on up through theta clear and toward operating Satan. But when I graduated from mess clear, as in processes up to theta clear, I found out some changes had to be made in order to attain and stabilize the upper goal. There were some other things occurred that I hadn't entirely counted upon. So similarly, there undoubtedly are some other things which intervene between theta clear and operating Satan. Operating Satan is a theoretical state. That a person can reach operating Satan isn't probably much of a question. More of a question is, how would he get somebody to process him that long? Or, who would he get brave enough to process him? Because an operating Satan is going up toward Jove and the lightning bolts, don't you think? Now, I don't know very much about this state, to tell you the truth. Except that such a state exists, then I have seen things occur, not only in processing, but after processing and so forth on people, that tells me that everybody's got a piece of God in him. Now, this is an ultimate state, and I wouldn't be surprised someday to have an intermediate state between theta clear and operating Satan. There may be some other state that we don't know about, we don't have vividly in mind. We don't expect of a theta clear that he will do anything spectacular, like make tables vanish and set roofs on fire at a glance and things like that. This would be something else. All we expect is a very able person who is no longer dependent totally upon a body. That's more or less what we expect in such a state. Now, which of these states are the valuable ones, and which are desirable, and toward which are we going, and which are acceptable? Oddly enough, clear, just clear all by itself, we have various grades of clear and various things to get clear and so forth. But the word clear all by itself has tremendous appeal. People seem to understand it. People understand that such a state can exist. They discuss it rather easily. Some of them, the more craven of them, are very afraid of people becoming clear, and other people are quite happy about it. Just clear as a state is considerably desirable and considered very desirable by the public at large. The state of release is very easy to obtain and is very desirable. You just tell somebody, well, we'll get you some processing. Don't talk to him about getting well. That's way beyond a lot of realities. Just say, well, we can fix you up so you won't get any worse. He'll think that over, and that'll seem pretty reasonable to him. Pretty reasonable. Well, you can make that one good. That one's very easy to make good. Healing, well, countries have laws about healing here and there, and some people forbid you to heal and put you in jail if you heal anybody and that sort of thing. But if you just did nothing but healing and you never did anything for anybody, you yourself would after a while begin to think that you had failed. Because people's goals as beings are too crosswise at times to be overcome. You run up failures on the line. The individual is so bound and determined to be ill that you have to process the person, not the body. So that's not a very valid thing. Not a very valid processing goal, healing. You can do it. Oh, go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter. But it's just not terribly valid as a processing goal. The goal of mess clear, well, go ahead and do it if you want to. But the odd part of it is it keys all the engrams out. And when you start to theta clear somebody, you've got to pick up some of these engrams and use them as rehearsal points. So you've actually wasted some time by mess clearing somebody. So it's a sort of a little byroad over here, and you've wasted quite a few hours by mess clearing somebody. You'd be better off to go straight toward theta clear. So mess clear is not really a valid auditor goal now that we have theta clear. Well, it was not too long ago, but it's in the light of theta clear, it's not too valid. Therefore, we have the states of release and what the public will call clear and that we call theta clear as being the desirable auditing goals. Now, those goals really don't come across anybody's objections. That's good roads and good weather. Almost anybody would be happy not to get any worse. Almost anybody would be happy to be clear. Now, what people call clear may not be what you call clear. This person calls something clear, clear, he'd say, clear. Oh, you mean totally out of this body and away from this and out of this universe and gone and not having to confront anything? Oh, boy, what a desirable goal. Give me. All right, give it to him. Perfectly all right, give it to him. He don't care what he understands by it. He, after a while, will get a better understanding of it. Remember that his reality on this sort of thing is poor. I don't try to educate him. Don't try to get him to know before he goes. Just get him to go. That's your basic goal. Those are the states of being. And as you process people, I can tell you very sincerely that the reaching of a state of release is too often obfuscated by trying to reach some complicated goal that nobody cares anything about, except maybe the PC, and he really doesn't care about it either. You could bring him up to a state of release and make him feel fine, show that he wouldn't get any worse. He's a little smarter and everything is happier and so forth. That's very easy to do. So that's a good, valid goal to go for. And the goal of theta clear is terrifically valid to go for. And that's what we're going to teach you to do in this course. Thank you.